the post twice, I can say, and I know all my fellow former attorneys general will agree, that description perfectly captures the essence of the job. Prologue. The first day of December 2020, almost a month after the presidential election, was gray and rainy. That afternoon, the president, struggling to come to terms with the election result, had heard I was at the White House for another meeting and sent word that I was to come see him immediately. I knew what was coming. I soon found myself standing in the president's small dining room off of the Oval Office. The president was as angry as I had ever seen him. More than 2 hours earlier, when I had left the Justice Department for the White House, I told my personal assistant, Teresa Watson, that there was a good chance the president would fire me. If he does, I said, he will probably direct me not to return to the office, so she might have to pack up for me. Oh, POTUS always says that, Teresa responded, using the government acronym referring to the President of the United States. But everyone ignores it, and if it happens, you just come back, she said. As I walked out the door, Teresa called after me. But anyway, he's not going to fire you. My chief of staff, Will Levy, was with me. You know, Will said, with a worried look, he just might. I know, I said. As the president likes to say, we'll see. Over the preceding weeks, I had been increasingly concerned about claims by the president and the team of outside lawyers advising him that the election had been stolen through widespread voting fraud. I had no doubt there was some fraud in the 2020 presidential elections. There's always some fraud in an election that large. There may have been more than usual in 2020. But the department had been looking into the claims of fraud made by the president's team, and we had yet to see evidence of it on the scale necessary to change the outcome of the election. The data suggested to me that the Democrats had taken advantage of rule changes, especially extended voting periods and voting by mail, to marshal the turnout they needed in their strongholds in key states. I had been a vocal critic of these rule changes precisely because they would increase the opportunity for fraud and thus undercut public confidence in the election results. There was also no question that, in some areas, state rules meant to guard against fraud, for example, the requirement that voters file applications for mail-in ballots, were not followed. This also increased the opportunity for fraud. Still, the opportunity for fraud isn't evidence of fraud. Under our system, the states have responsibility for running elections. Claims that the election rules are not being followed fall under the state's jurisdiction, and the burden is on the complaining party to raise the matter with state officials and courts to have it addressed. This often requires pressing the states to conduct in-depth audits of relevant districts needed to resolve alleged irregularities. The Justice Department does not have the authority or the tools to perform that function. Instead, its role is to investigate specific and credible allegations of voting fraud for the purpose of criminal prosecution. A complaint just saying the rules were not followed is not enough. There must be some indication of actual fraud. When I looked at the voting patterns, it also appeared to me that President Trump had underperformed among certain Republican and independent voters in some key suburban areas in the swing states. He ran weaker in these areas than he had in 2016. It seemed this shortfall could explain the outcome. The fact that, in many key areas, Trump ran behind Republican candidates below him on the ballot suggested this conclusion and appeared inconsistent with the fraud narrative. As I had said in my confirmation hearing 2 years earlier, our country is deeply divided, but our saving grace is the ability to carry out the peaceful transfer of power through elections. If the American people lose confidence in the integrity of their elections and the legitimacy of an elected administration, we are headed toward a very dark place. That is why I was so disgusted by efforts in 2016 to delegitimize President Trump and resist his duly elected administration. But now the situation was completely reversed. It is one thing to say that the rules were unfairly skewed. It is another to say that the election's outcome was the result of fraud. President Trump's legal team was feeding his supporters a steady diet of